AAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here each week, especially during weeks like we just finished. I don't think there was a single day where there wasn't a 200-point move. Maybe it was only 150 one day. I don't remember. I know about the last six or eight trading sessions, it was triple digits and pretty significant triple digits each day. With Friday kind of being the high end of that, pretty wild month. I mean, January's over now already. And even counting all in indices were up over 2% yesterday.
Right.
The S&P 500 finished the month down about 5%. The Dow was down about 5.5%. And the NASDAQ was down about 7.9%, almost 8% for the month.
NASDAQ was.
Just for the month.
Wow.
Huh. Pretty interesting start. How's that January effect going to be?
Well, it all depends on who wins the Super Bowl next week.
That'll dictate what happens with the market the rest of the way?
80%, 85% correlation.
If
the Panthers win, then the market will be up 10%. And if the Broncos win, then it's going to be a bloodbath.
All year.
Yeah. Okay. You heard it here first.
That sounds like a very accurate.
There's a lot of correlation.
Very scientific.
It is actually one of those indicators that for some unknown reason has held. But
purely random.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely random, but it's sort of that's what happens. Mm-hmm. If the Panthers win, supposedly we're rallying.
So it's just going to be straight up from here.
And I have to say that I think the Panthers have got a pretty good shot at winning. That Cam Newton guy seems unstoppable.
And their defense is not bad as well.
No.
They create the opportunities for their offense.
So there you go. So based on that prediction that the Panthers are going to win, we're now saying the market's going to rally.
So we're done today.
Okay,
that's
Todd,
you
can take
you
over.
Much.
Play music or something.
Help us out here, Todd.
But yeah, it was a very, very volatile time, and Friday was a banner of an up day. Not that heavy volume, to be honest, but it was on the back of the Japanese coming to our rescue once again.
Japan kind of following what we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years.
And that's worked well.
And, well, hasn't Japan essentially been doing this for the last 20, 25 years?
Japan's an interesting experiment because you're right, there have been. And there, our debt level, if you just take the base debt, just what we owe, right? And just the forget about Social Security benefits and Medicare and all of those entitlements that we won't factor that in. But the debt, the actual Fed debt is around about $17, $18 trillion, which is roughly 1x or 100% of GDP.
So they just need to print 17 or 18 of those coins, and we're all good.
Yeah. My son's still planning on finding one. He thinks it's going to lie on the street. But
sure.
If we're at 100% GDP, back in the good old days, before all this money started printing, most of the developed countries were sitting at around about 40 to 50% GDP, debt to GDP. So now we're at 100. Okay, so that's doubled. Japan, because as you've correctly said, they've been dealing with this problem of low interest rates and no growth for decades now. They're now at 250%
of GDP
debt, right? So think about that. You've got revenues of let's say, I don't know what the Japanese economy is, it's like $3 trillion or something like that, $3 or $4 trillion. So they've got debt of $12 trillion almost.
Okay. That would be like adding to it.
Yes, big time. And we've got debt of $17 trillion. If we had the same as they have, we would have an equivalent debt of about $30 trillion. 30 to 35 trillion.
Oh, so we can double our debt and we'll still be okay.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately, that's probably the logic.
According to the Japanese model, mm-hmm. The question that has to be asked is, at what point in time is there the tipping point where people just lose complete faith in the Japanese government and the Japanese economy and just start bailing big time?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that hasn't happened yet for some unknown reason. So the question that I think economists and certainly central bankers of the world are thinking to themselves, well, they'll all just watch Japan. They've got to 230, 250% of GDP. So we've still got miles of bandwidth to go. In the US standpoint, they've got another $30 trillion they could print.
It sure seems like it's what we've talked about in the past, that we've gotten to a point where we're never going to be able to get out from underneath the debt anywhere in the world.
Well, that's the whole point to my discussion.
I think it's almost starting to become a non-factor where people just aren't going to pay any attention any longer, that it really doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I say unfortunately because it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to pay it back. You can't just keep printing money and never pay it back. I don't care what government you are.
Right.
It has to be financed from somewhere. So who's going to keep buying this stuff?
The world bond, it's coming.
That's my idea, by the way.
That'll be the platform you run on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank goodness for, luckily for the rest of all of our listeners, they don't have to worry about that because I'm not from here. So
they're still questioning about it.
Could you imagine if I was president? That would be scary. But I could cut deals, and I think we should build a wall.
Build a wall. Just any wall somewhere.
Out of fudge.
That's right.
Wall
exactly.
Of fudge. There you go.
There you go. But no, I mean, jokes aside, I think that at some point, the world is going to be so awash in debt that, well, it already is. If you just think of interest rates going to 5 or 10% across the globe. Imagine the problems that governments will have trying to balance their budget. Just in the US standpoint, there's no chance.
Right.
You've got $20 trillion of debt. You apply 10% to that interest. You're paying $2 trillion a year in interest payments. Then you've still got the $1.5 trillion that they spend on everything else, right? Right. So you had $3.5 trillion, plus you've got another trillion of entitlements. So you got $4.5 trillion. You take $5 trillion, that means you're going to have to tax everyone at about 60% or 70% taxes.
Well, there's certain parties that are in office right now that think that would be an okay solution.
Well, if you're Warren Buffett, you think it's all right. I'm okay, Jackson, but it's. Even then, you go look at his statement, and he says that he would happily pay as much tax as anyone, but he seems to spend a lot of money trying to make certain he doesn't.
Right.
So, anyway, I don't. It's just the point to what I'm talking about now is just that at some point, yes, I think people have just become, oh, whatever, it doesn't really matter anymore. But unfortunately, at some point in time, it will.
It really seems as if it's just become monopoly money in most people's minds. It really doesn't matter. Let's just have the blank checkbook and just keep writing checks.
Yeah, politicians talk about $1 billion like it's $5.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Oh, it's just $1 billion. $1 billion.
Billion here, $1 billion there.
It's $1 million.
Yeah. All right.
Or $1,000 million at least.
At least. You just share one of those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stick around. When we come back, we are going to discuss more about what's going on in the economies of the world and how they may impact your decisions and how to get ahead as things progress. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors AM 1170, The Answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
In over 43 years as a family law practitioner, attorney Bob Bomber has handled just about every family law issue there is. His certified paralegal, Treva Cutts, has handled family law matters for over 26 years. His two associates, Aaron Perry and Will Hanisch, have handled family law matters for 16 years. Attorney Perry handles all aspects of family law, and attorney Hanisch also places emphasis on elder abuse. If you have a need of an experienced family law firm devoted exclusively to handling such family law issues as custody, move-aways, child and spousal support, the division of assets, and divorce, call attorney Robert J. Bomber. That's Bomber, B-A-U-M-E-R, at 619-497-0054. Bob Bomber, a good person to have on your side. 619-497-0054.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent, conservative, AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us, sharing this blustery San Diego day with us. Steve, you got to paddle today, but not in the open ocean.
No, just amongst the jellyfish.
Jellyfish. Apparently there's an influx of jellyfish in Mission Bay today.
Yeah, there were literally tens of thousands of them.
Really?
Yeah, couldn't miss them.
So there's a piece of advice. If you want something to do today, you can go down to Mission Bay and observe all the jellyfish.
You have to actually get out into the water, though. They're not flopping up on the shore from what I saw.
They're probably close. There's a lot of docks and piers.
If they're in Mission Bay, just give them a few hours, they'll be flopping up on the shore.
That's right. When the tide goes out, they'll be there. So, crazy, crazy month. If I was guessing, I would say this is just a pretty much foretelling what the year is going to look like. Unless there's some big event that changes something to give us guidance one way or the other, it sure seems like this is going to be a very volatile year again.
I think volatile, yes. When I wrote my blog this Friday, I just had a look around the world at what was going on out there, and there's certainly a lot of headwinds. I mean, when you've got Japan going to negative interest rates, as you mentioned earlier, down. They've been fighting with deflation and trying to get the economy kickstarted for 30 years now.
Should we explain that real quick, what negative interest rates mean?
Go right ahead.
Well, the article I read that talked about it is they're now going to charge the institutions that leave their money overnight, right?
Right.
So they're going to charge them 0.1%.
Right. Yeah, so you get charged to deposit your money with them.
So the purpose of going negative is to encourage these businesses to keep that money out working in the economy, is that?
Well, that's the idea, yeah. So, you know, you just essentially it's like go and invest it somewhere other than us. Right. And crazily enough, in Europe, Germany and Switzerland are already negative in yields, and the people are still giving them money for the simple reason that they just think that it's still a better bet than anywhere else.
They'd rather know that they're only going to lose a small percentage than the unknown of losing a lot. Well, and we haven't even talked about this yet, but while this market had the big rally, let's take a peek.
Even the Japanese, that market rallied, the Nikkei rallied after they announced it, and then it turned around and ended the day down because people, I think, have finally worked out over there that this negative interest rate move just shows enormous amounts of weakness rather than here we go back on the races again, right?
Well, as I'm looking, our 10-year treasury,
yeah, it's 1.something.
Which was at 2.3 just seemingly a month ago, wasn't
yeah.
it? Is it 1.93?
Which is also interesting because the market rallied yesterday and so did the 10-year.
Right. So once again,
someone's wrong.
They don't work together.
No. So you've got those headwinds of a very weak Japan. You've got a weak Europe. China is struggling big time.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting with China is it was all this talk when they joined the WTO and then they became part of the international currency basket. About how they're going to take over from the United States dollar and all of this. They are, one of their biggest headaches they've got right now is an outflux of renminbi into all different currencies around the world. And it's not a government outflux, it's the man on the street, because one of the
general population
criteria of becoming a world basket currency is that you have to be freely tradable, which meant they had to relax the controls on money.
The ability of their citizens
to move money
out. But they're still constraining it a bit where they only allow a certain amount, right?
Agreed. There's still some constraints, but it's pouring out of there really quickly. So now what's happening is their economy they've got a choice to make. They either let the controls go and say, right, we're going to freely float, because they right now have a peg to the dollar, right? It's floating slightly within a band, but they've got a peg to the dollar. You can either let your currency float, in which case then it's freely tradable, and now the government has no control over what their currency is, right? So they don't like to give up control. So there's this real tussle going on between the central government in China and the economic forces, and right now the economic forces are winning because the Chinese, in trying to stabilize their currency, the Chinese government is using up all of their foreign reserves, which is then just flowing straight back out again because the locals are taking it out and sending it back overseas again. So it's this transfer of economic power, a shift is happening, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they deal with that. I've got my bets on what you just mentioned, which is, they're probably just going to lock down those controls and just say, you can't take money out anymore.
Right.
I don't see them giving that up.
Once they see it get to a certain percentage, they're going to have to pin that down because, I mean, that's...
Well, they don't have to. If they were a proper open economy, then they wouldn't.
Right.
Right? But that just shows you they're not. They don't want to lose that control.
Well, in the fact that the citizens are doing everything they can to get that money out says a lot about their comfort level of what's happening.
Well, that's right, because they were using all of these foreign reserves to just keep these deadbeat public companies going, controlled by the state, losing billions of dollars a year, employing people, which ends up just in rife, you know, backhanders and, you know, insider trading and all that type of stuff. And so the public, the general population, I don't think is very, very enamored with all of that. So they, you're right, are voting with their feet.
Well, I know a lot of that money is flowing into real estate, especially here in San Diego.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cash offers going on expensive properties, and it is...
I've got one. So when you find some of these people...
Chinese people.
Tell them I've got a piece of land downtown that's okay. Prime.
You're
going
to hold
estate.
On to that for when the Chargers build that stadium downtown
that
they've been jockeying for the last year or two.
If they said that piece of land would be worth 300% at least.
Yeah.
So for someone listening, if you want to bet on 300%, you can buy it from me tomorrow. But jokes aside, well, that's not even a joke, by the way. So you've got the Japanese have got their issues. You've got the Chinese have got their issues. Europe has got its issues, right? And then you look, so you're the Federal Reserve, and we're now, once again, a massive bargain in terms of bond yield, 1.9, and everywhere else is negative, just about. You know, and I'm not saying everywhere in terms of every country around the globe, but all of these developed countries where you're pretty certain you're going to get your money back, like, you know, England and Germany and Switzerland and Japan, and, you know, you're pretty certain you're going to get your money back. They're all basically negative, and here we are sitting almost at 2%. Right. So where are you going to put your money? Which means
the dollar is going to continue to strengthen.
Right, and that's exactly what happened on Friday after Japan said that. The dollar strengthened.
So once again, we're creating opportunity to travel abroad, and your money's going to go a lot further. So that's what the Federal Reserve is doing for us.
And that's the
They're
whole
thing.
We finally worked it out.
To help the citizens of the United States.
Leave.
Travel. travel and get the most for their money, I think, is the appropriate.
So, yeah. Okay.
well, because you're going back to South Africa soon, right?
Yes, in March.
And the money's going to go much further there.
Yeah, my sister's already picked out a few good lunch spots, apparently, where she can try and spend some dollars. But, so if you're the Federal Reserve and you see all this stuff going on and you see this dollar strengthening, and that's going to cause problems around the globe for particularly the emerging market economies. I mean, there's a lot of their stuff is denominated in dollars.
Sure.
So that's becoming harder and harder to pay back. The price of crude is way down there, and a lot of them.
Oh, but it rallied. It
did rally
a little
bit.
It went up 1.5% on Friday.
Yeah, well,
it's
it's come from like 28 to 33. So it's
74.
Had a nice rally from 28, but it's still a heck of a lot further away from 100 or plus. And we've discussed that on the show. Like Saudi Arabia, even though they're the cheapest production people in the globe, outside of maybe some fracking people in the U.S. now, but outside of that, the Saudis can dig it out of there. I mean, they literally just sort of stick a pin in the sand and out comes oil.
Mm-hmm.
They still need $90 a barrel to cover all of their entitlement expenses. So it's causing a big headache for all of these countries around the globe.
Just a strain on every economy reliant on oil.
Yeah, which is a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think of Brazil. They're not necessarily 100% on oil, but a big chunk of it is. And so this is causing problems for emerging economies, which, as we've said, is 60% of the global GDP. You've got the other parts of the other 40%. You know, other parts of it is outside of us is China and places like that. I mean, they're all struggling. So it's hard to see the Fed raising rates anytime soon.
Right. And once again, we've talked about it. They now have a new arrow in their quiver that because they raised by that whopping quarter, they can now drop by a quarter again.
Yeah, but just imagine what egg in the face that is. And then also just think and just think then what they're going to do now, the next thing, print more money. That hasn't worked.
Well, they haven't stopped. And that's the thing that doesn't get talked about.
Yeah.
They really haven't stopped because all the money that they pumped into the system is still circulating in the system. I have to believe they're reinvesting everything they get out of it, which means they're actually increasing because they're probably reinvesting the interest that they're getting paid.
Yeah, you think. Well, they're getting a lot of interest from the students, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's if you look at that, then there's no real interest rate rise coming, and there's no real growth. And we can talk when we come back after the break about one marquee company and what they've seen in their earnings report recently.
Okay, let's do that. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Saying, "I don't know," is no longer acceptable. This is AM 1170, The Answer.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
How can you tell if your wrinkle cream is working? I mean, really working. At Stages of Beauty, we put our new Adaptive Tripeptide Serum to the test and conducted our largest consumer survey ever. Guess what? 90% of users saw a decrease in wrinkles on their face and neck. 90%! It's true. Our Adaptive Tripeptide Serum really works. Best of all, I can help you try a free supply. Yeah, for the small cost of shipping and handling, you'll try a free supply of this same deep wrinkle serum. But hurry, because supplies are limited. For details, call 1-800-647-0856. Finally, a wrinkle formula that really works. Call me for your free supply of the Adaptive Tripeptide Serum, only from Stages of Beauty. Call 1-800-647-0856. 1-800-647-0856. 1-800-647-0856.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
AM 1170, theanswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
I know, I hate that chair of yours, Jeff. This is way...
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
That was Steve Bick just talking away as we came back on.
Yeah, I didn't have my headset on.
Yes.
But I have to say, his chair's not nearly as comfortable as mine, which is what I was saying.
If there was only a camera in here so the audience could see you.
That's right. We'd have to straighten our act up then.
They'd think you've got the life. Well, you mentioned an individual stock, and we typically don't talk too much unless there's some big news around a company. There was last year, we did talk about this. Last year, if it wasn't for what is being called the FANGs, what is it, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, or no, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, right?
Yeah, and of course, Google is now also an A.
Right, because it's Alphabet.
Yeah, right.
But people still are always going to know it as Google.
Right.
But if it wasn't for those stocks, the indexes would have been down, I think, significantly.
Yeah.
Maybe not 20%, but probably 5%+
correct,
for the year, if it wasn't for that, because of the way the indexes are weighted and how they track that. Although this year, which this goes to some of the investment philosophies and theories and strategies people use of don't chase the winners, because typically the following year, those are the struggling to perform as high
dogs
as the ones
Dow.
That yeah. Right, the dogs of the Dow theory, where you take the lowest performing and invest in those for the next year, and it tends to work out really well over time. Where so far this year, with the exception of Facebook announcing results just this past week, everybody's down. Amazon announced poor results. They took a beating. Facebook just they went up. Their PE ratio went from 100 or 110 down to 86.
Yeah, well, they had a good earnings.
Right.
And to be honest, I think right now Facebook's in prime position, just because of their lock on the advertising, online advertising. It's really the only place you can go as an online advertiser to make sure that your audience is targeted and they receive your message, and it's not just a bunch of
robots. So you're going very specifically to the target audience instead of a wild promise. Yes, the primary audience is this, so we're pretty sure you'll get access to those people.
Yeah.
Or with Facebook, you are getting those people exactly.
Correct. And so there's a lot of money being poured their direction. But I think the unfortunate side of it is most of these social networks, at some point, people are going to just get a little bit annoyed with all these ads. I have to say, I'm not a big Facebook person, but even when I go on there every now and again now, I'm like, what are all these ads doing here? You know, and they're everywhere. The advertisements all over the place.
Well, that's finally how they tried. And they're being efficient at it. They're obviously able to monetize what they do through the ad space. But I think you're right. People are going to grow tired of that.
But
and look for a new alternative, which maybe that's an open door for a new company to step in and say, we're going to do this. We're going to charge you $1 for a year for essentially the same service with no ads. Yeah.
But so if you think about the Facebook earnings, which were really good, they're sort of an island. They're not really reflective of the global economy per se, because if you're an island, or you've got, like Warren Buffett says, a moat around your business and no one can really take it from you, and you're the bee's knees in that industry, which they basically are right now, you're going to do well regardless of market conditions, and that's what they've said. On the flip side, if you go across to Amazon and you go across in particular to Apple, Apple had a horrendous quarter. I mean, they beat the top line. But after the conference call was over, there was a quote from Jim Cook, and he said, Tim Cook, he says, he's never seen such extreme business issues as and constraints as he's seeing right now across the globe. As extreme.
Right.
Across the globe, right?
This is a company
the biggest company in the globe.
Right. Dominating.
And he's saying that he's never seen such headwinds in his life in this business. That to me is, now that's giving you the litmus test of what's going on out in the global markets. Now, I will say this. The issue that I've always seen with Apple is that they've grown on innovation and they've grown on being a market leader in terms of various products. And I don't think they're that anymore.
Right.
I think they're just expensive. Now, that's just me. I'm sure there's a bunch of Apple people out there that are shouting at the radio right now. But I just feel that, you know, you don't need to pay that premium anymore for an Apple product. You can go to a Samsung or an HTC or something else and get an equivalent program.
Right. Very adequate.
My devices. Family, my son has an Apple and I have the Android thing, Samsung. I find mine way easier to use.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I'm not an Apple person. He says how easy it is, but I still struggle.
Well, he's also younger than me by just a couple of years. So.
Just one or two. But I mean, the point to my story is you don't, I think Apple's finally getting to a point of saturation where it might be less about the global economy and more about just their products.
Right. How many Apple devices do you need?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this numerous times, that it does appear that they have the superior product. Clearly, they want to charge a premium for right. that. But how many of those superior products do you need? I mean, I'm still driving a 2007 car that looks like it's going to drive forever. I'm in no hurry to go replace it. I don't need the newest, latest, and greatest. I'm the same way. My phone is probably 3 or 4 years old. It still works perfectly fine.
Right.
I don't need to run out and replace it. And I understand a lot of the Apple followers really love the changes, but there haven't been, like you said, there haven't been those big innovative additions to the new versions. It's just some small tweak that even some of the Apple people are saying, it really isn't that different, but this is better. The camera's a little bit better, which do you notice the difference between 15 and 20 megapixels? I don't think the human eye can tell the difference. And those are the types of changes that seem to be maybe slowing down that business model.
And also, I think that the world is awash with smartphones. And I think that's the other side of it. So I'm not saying Apple's a bad company. I'm just saying that I think that it's interesting when you've got these global businesses and you hear a CEO say something as extreme as that. That opens, you should start thinking, maybe there's a bigger global problem than we thought. Right. And if that's the case, that means it will definitely have an impact on U.S. growth.
Right. The whole trickle down will occur.
And it's going to happen quickly, I think.
But that's the next question is, when is that? We have no idea. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year.
Right. Well,
it could be 5 years from now.
Let's talk about Amazon's earnings. Mm-hmm. They were way below what they had predicted they were going to do in the fourth quarter. Way below. Now, that is... So we've taken the global litmus test using Apple.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Facebook as a little island. So we're not really, we're going to discount their earnings a little bit. Now we're going to look at Amazon, which is sort of a litmus test for the U.S.
Sure.
The general health of the United States in the busiest season of the year, which is the holidays.
Fourth quarter.
Yep. Fourth quarter. And they didn't even come close to what they were supposed to do. Not even close, which means that the amount of money spent through the holiday season was anemic. And then you look at the, and then it was backed up right away with the GDP, fourth quarter GDP of 0.7%. 0.7. Not even one.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even grow 1%.
During
the busiest season. I mean, and you've got the benefit of the gas at the pump being as cheap as it's been in a long time. Right. So you would think people have an extra few bucks to go and spend buy a lot of presents, but apparently that didn't happen.
Right. But on the flip side, Alibaba, didn't they, which is kind of the equivalent of Amazon, but
for the
Chinese market, didn't they announce off the chart earnings?
Oh, they did, but can you really trust those numbers?
Right.
You know, seriously, you've heard about the Chinese retail expenditure, and it was up this huge number. But when you're doing things like satellite images of parking lots, and there's no one in the stores, and you've got things like that going on, and then you're getting these big numbers out of certain places, I just don't know if I can. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I don't think I believe it, to be honest.
Sure. Well, it doesn't look like the market does. The stock has just trended continually downwards.
So. Well, what is this? How has it done?
It's at $67 a share.
Okay. So that's down from the IPO.
Well below the IPO.
So there you go. The market doesn't believe it
either.
The
52-week high was $95. And didn't it price around 90?
Something like
the
that,
First trade was around 90.
Yeah. Weren't you going to buy a whole bunch?
I was going to try to buy some as it opened and then sell it almost instantly. And
How did that go?
It started selling way above where I was willing to pay. I didn't have any faith that it was going to be a long-term hold.
I kept trying to egg him into buying the position just to see what he was going to do. He didn't listen to me, thank goodness.
I stuck to my plan. We always emphasize the importance of having a plan and following it. I stuck to my plan and I did not get burned. So there.
So take that.
So I practice what I preach.
There you go. Well done, sir.
All right. Well, stick around. When we come back, we will continue just kind of breaking down what's going on, what the global outlook is now that we're done with a pretty dismal January. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. And as we talk about every week, each show we do is typically built around questions that we receive from our listeners. And we enjoy getting the questions, we enjoy answering the questions, and we do our best to address any question we receive in a very timely manner. You are able to email us directly. You can email directly to Steve's inbox or mine, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. During the break, I took a look here and just seeing one of the headlines, which this is an idea we talk about all the time, and here he goes again, the master of these markets, Warren Buffett. This article says, Berkshire resumes buying Phillips 66 stock.
Yeah.
All the oil companies are pretty beat up. Stocks are low. Here he goes again. No one knows where the oil's going. It could go down to $20 a barrel for all we know, or lower. And here he's taking advantage of opportunities. There's a sale going on. Phillips is obviously a big company, and he's seeing this as an opportunity versus panicking about, oh no, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, no, that's a lot of people have asked me about that trade for oil.
Yeah.
And I think if you stick with the big companies like he obviously does, I mean, he can't buy into the small guys. He's got too much money.
Right. So he could, but he'd own the whole company.
Yeah, exactly. Within a day.
He does like to do that, though.
Yeah. But I'm just interested that he chose Phillips and not
Exxon
or
BP.
But it's, you know, still a vote for oil. And as I've mentioned repeatedly on the show, that the old mantra from the trading floor of the commodities is low prices and low prices. So at some point, the oil price will turn around and go back.
Sure.
I personally don't think it's going to happen for at least the next 12 to 24 months. But
where is back?
Exactly.
Is the question. Is it 50? Is it 80? Is it 100?
Exactly right.
Is it 40?
I know.
Maybe it just moves to 40 and stays there for the next 5 years.
Correct. And yeah, I mean, it could easily. That's what I'm saying. You're right. What is back? He's obviously found something that he thinks he's, when he buys something, he just doesn't sell it. So
right.
He's obviously just, and also when you're dealing with such big volume dollars as he is, it takes some time to normally get into those positions.
Yeah, that's why it says resumes buying Phillips 66 stock. It doesn't say he took his position.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is probably something that's going to take him 3 or 6 months to deploy all the funds.
Yeah. So, so I think it's an interesting idea. But as you say, I think if you're going to go into the oil trade in terms of buying an oil stock, you need to stick with the big guys. They're the only ones with a balance sheet that can handle a low oil price for an extended period of time.
Or a diversified business. Aren't there a number of them that have other arms that may be able to support a struggling oil side?
Yeah. I mean, there are, but you just need to make certain that a really struggling oil isn't going to drag down the rest of the business.
The whole company, right.
I mean, I remember back in the good old days, and you remember them too, in the shipping world, and dry ships bought out the oil rigs, remember? And I think those oil rigs basically almost sank that company.
Right.
Because not only did the oil business go down, but so did the price of the shipping. So it was a double whammy for them. My favorite economic term, double whammy.
Double whammy. That's very technical. that's way above my trading capabilities.
No, you have to have an advanced degree in economics to understand that one, Joe. But I think, though, there is a potential position for oil right now, but I wouldn't shove a whole bunch in there because, as you say, maybe oil bounces to 40.
And sure, this is a speculative. If it's something you're hoping for a quick pop, maybe that happens, but
in all honesty,
it is purely just a gamble if you're hoping that it's just going to hit a home run in the next month and then you're going to cash out and move along.
Agreed. And I have to say, if you're looking for dirt cheap and stocks that have really been pounded, and I've said this before on the air, it's the gold mining stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, gold, sure, has come down significantly, but oil came from 120 to 30. Okay, so what's that, 70% more, 72%.
Mm-hmm.
Gold's come from 1,900 to 1,100. So that's not even 40%, right? The gold stocks dropped about 85%. They are next to, basically, they are just being given away.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't worked out why, which just goes to show that in the value investing world, sometimes when you buy value, it's just stuck at value. You know what I'm saying? It just never comes back.
Sure.
And you really have to have a lot of patience in that world, because I'm sure they will come back at some point. But the whole world has bet that gold is essentially going to go to $200 an ounce again, because that's essentially what they've priced those stocks at.
Right down to 85.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Whereas oil is still priced on a rebound. The oil stocks are.
Right.
If the oil stocks were priced based on the price of crude, the movement in crude, they would be down a lot more.
Sure.
So it's just interesting to me that he's buying now.
So is that, right, my question now is that creating a scarier situation where maybe the stock prices catch up to the actual drop in crude?
That's why I'm not trading the crude thing, but for certain people they do. But then again, I've bought into the gold argument.
Sure.
And I'm not going anywhere, right? I haven't made any money. I haven't lost any because I've literally waited until these stocks are
good. But you are consistent because you've been talking about the gold for a good year or two.
Yeah, and I've been getting,
you've been wrong the whole time.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Even a broken clock is right two times a day, so eventually you're going to be right.
Let me tell you something. The gold price has actually stabilized, and it looks like it's going up. But of course, as you know, I'm long gold, so I'm, hoping that continues. But it has come back a little bit. But
it's at 11.18.
Yeah, up from 10.60. So
it's progress.
Yeah, almost 5%.
Going the right way.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So the problem with commodities is it's so out of everyone. If you just think of the oil price as an example, right? Oil's coming out of Russia. It's coming out of the Saudis. It's coming out of Venezuela. It's coming out of Brazil. It's coming out of the fracking people. It's coming out of Angola. It's coming out of Nigeria. It's coming out of, I mean, you know, who knows how much oil there really is?
Right.
Who really knows what the supply of oil is? No one. Right. I mean, they do their best. No one really knows.
And that's been the big concern is Iran, because they've been cooperating with the nuclear treaty.
Yeah.
That they're now allowed to start putting their oil out into the market.
But so the price of oil is so speculative. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 70s, my dad, the whole world was like up and up. We were going to run out of oil by 1990 or something ridiculous, right? Here we are, 2016. We've got more oil than we know what to do with. So it just goes to show.
That's just because we're more efficient at getting it out the ground.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Remember, right. At one point we were going to run out of fiber optic capacity, and then they worked out to use light instead of switches, and now we've got more fiber optic capacity than we know what right. to do with. So you're right. Technology has a big impact on that. But the point is that these swings in terms of the commodity prices are so out of our control that you need to have a long window of investment window, because you never know exactly right. what's going to happen.
And that's, I mean, that was the point of bringing up Warren Buffett.
All right.
Here's a guy who practices what he preaches, and every time markets drop, he is finding opportunity. And that's why he is the master. He has done this for his whole career, pretty much. And
right.
And we talk about him all the time, and there's a reason for it, because he is the best in the business and has been for a very long period of time. He hasn't just gotten lucky once or twice.
Well, he has.
Well, yes, he has, but it's because he's doing the opposite. He is using his be fearful when others are greedy and be all greedy right. when others are fearful. And this is a time with oil, people are fearful.
But I have to say, in the market, there doesn't seem to be fear. And we can talk yeah. about that maybe next week.
Yeah, definitely.
I hear the tune.
You hear the tune. It's coming. Well, thank you again for joining us. We enjoy this every week. Email our questions or concerns, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Todd, thanks for keeping us on time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com, or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.